The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. It's the podcast on the weekend. And that's what it's all about today. Okay. It's 2019. And like I said, the OMF is in trouble writing some checks. Always when I'm at the date on checks now, you know, at the cash point, you know, the checkout, I get my checkbook out. Everyone else is whinging behind. I always get the date wrong, you know, but 2018 at the end. Terrible, isn't it? Takes me weeks to come round to it, you know.
Yeah. Is it the first new year you've been through?
Yes. Do you have the same problem, Steve? These checks?
Yes, all the time those checks are just flying out the door.
You should shut the door, sir.
I've tried that. You got the window then.
It is very cold, actually, at the moment, isn't it? Do you know what? It's so cold. I've got two in my little office here, which is, you know, the back end of the garage and the garden sort of thing. I've got two little heaters. One's a daddy heater, one's a baby heater, and they're both on. And I tripped out the trips earlier on because it's so cold. The tumble dryers are next door. It's all rock and roll. All heaters are on. What am I talking about?
Oh. Wow.
Anyway. We didn't meet over Christmas because, do you know what? We were supposed to go on the 27th. That's not a good day. We should do it before Christmas, I think. We tried, but you went away. I had a healthy, exactly. Went to Dubai, which is all you can eat pretty much. You know, they come back there. It was quite healthy for a while. Then we went to my mother-in-law's, right? My mother-in-law, unbelievable amount of food she buys. Really crazy, over the top. Like she's got a problem, which has got a problem spending. I tell you how much she bought. We got there and we thought, who else is coming? And he said, no, just that's right. Because it looks like you bought for rugby team. She even bought a new fridge. That's how big. Literally, she had a big fridge anyway. But she bought an even bigger one, American fridge, to fit all the food in. And even then, she couldn't fit all the food in. So
wow.
We just literally...
We would have come, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Well, that would have solved it, probably. Because we end up taking food away. And we're still just now finishing off the food she gave to us over Christmas. That's how much food we had. But so we could say, you know, make it last a bit longer and maybe make it the next year, you know. But unbelievable. So we're supposed to go on 27th, and I thought, I can't face it. I've overeaten now for, you know, 3 days. I feel like food's coming out of my gullet. I can't eat anymore. You know, I really can't.
Well, we didn't have to eat, though. We could have just met up for a pint. But even that,
I didn't want to put any more in my face.
Not even a wafer thin mint.
No, I just felt really uncomfortable.
He also doesn't like drinking as well, Pete, remember?
Forget that.
These are like people, so I don't know why we bothered with that one.
You mix me, it's a horrible combo, actually. Actually, good up for eating and drinking with people, yeah. It doesn't really work. But yes, but I do like the markets. And do you know what? I've noticed there's been a bit of a bounce, hasn't there, on Friday?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Well, I think it's the start of a rally we're going to see. I think we're going to have a recovery now, guys. And I tell you why. But don't let this is like a sucker punch. And this sucker punch will last about 3 months. So you're going to have a good opportunity here to get out of any stocks you don't believe in. I know you're still in a lot of resource stocks. People will say, I'm insane saying this, but we've had good jobs numbers. They were like from the US. Now, the jobs numbers were predicted about 176,000 jobs for the month, and it came in almost double that, 320,000, it's a ridiculous amount. So... it's looking in America as a bullish economy. But listen, what people are not getting, and also on top of this, the Fed guy, Fed head, Jerome Powell, he's eased off a bit on the rate hikes. Because if anything slows down an economy, it's interest rates. If you raise them up, it just, you know, everything gets more expensive to borrow money to expand. So he said he's going to revise these and look at the economy more because, you know, Trump has been tweeting, slagging him off on Twitter, all that. But he said he's going to look at that and read it in and even maybe look at the balance sheets or reduce the quantitative tightening which is happening, which is the opposite of printing money. He may even look at that. So you've had some bullish comments. And also China today have now trying to stimulate their economy by reducing the amount required by banks that they need to hold, the reserve capital, so they can loan out more. So China's going into pretty much what happened. The problem that happened in the financial crisis was everyone just borrowed everything. You know, loan. People were just borrowing on debt and expanding on debt. And all of a sudden, you know, you hit peak everything. Now, China's doing that again. It's trying to, because they're slowing down, so they are trying to loan and stimulate. There's also going to be a meeting next week between Americans and China about the trade war, and they both really need to come to a deal here. Because we saw, did you see Apple? Apple reported, and it's one of the first times ever. Now, you've got to understand, Apple's the big, people say, so what? It's Apple. It's the biggest company in the world. It's also, it straddles America and China, because even the brains are sort of in America, the design and all that thing is America. It's built in China, you know? So their tariffs are hitting them. So they're saying that iPhone sales, I think every other part of the business is quite good, I think, apart from iPhone sales went down. There's not a lot else you can do now, is it, with iPhones? They've pretty much hit some of their peaks of tech, haven't they? What else are you going to do with it? You know, at the start, the biggest jump from the old non-smartphones was to the new smartphones, and then incremental increases, better camera, bit more memory, better camera, bit more memory, better camera. That's all they could do. And then, I mean, short of putting, you know, some cotton buds on to clean your ears. I would like that, actually. Just pop up one of those, you know. Just flick up, clean your ear. What else can you do with smartphones? Anything else? Is there anything else you can really do?
Holographic.
It's quite funny because every time they bring out new and they're selling this virtuality kind of stuff. What's it called? They call it
AR?
Augmented reality.
Augmented, yes.
And AR. I can't see any use for it as me. I can see it useful in the industry and for kids and stuff like that. But as me, as it just doesn't interest me.
Yeah, no, there'll be opportunities where it can be useful. But
tell us what's very clever, actually. As we've seen on the iPhone X, which I got, which is £1,100, is that thing, you got those little avatars, you can change face, you can talk, and it looks quite realistic, you know? On text, you can send them over text, or on live or FaceTime. Have you not seen them? You can like be a pig or a duck.
That's the augmented reality.
Augmented,
where it's called.
Augmented.
But I don't tend to ring people on FaceTime and put a funny face on.
But do you know what? Yesterday, that's what Megan said. She wasn't going to upgrade. You know, I may just get a new sim. And then she said, hang on. No, I'm going to upgrade to get those funny characters. You can spend £1,100 on a phone just so you can talk like a chicken to someone over FaceTime. I mean, and that's a dilemma people are going with. It's like, is it worth upgrading? You know, because people are upgrading, you've got tariffs coming in. So, you know, no one wins a trade tariff war. No one wins. You know, Trump's always going to get the big I am, the Charlie big boy, you know. But it's not going to win. So they both need to come to arrangements. We're going to have here, I think, a nice little rally for at least 3, 4, 5, 6 months maybe. So you will see your portfolios recover, I think, lads. Put in your diaries. What about April? You know, April-ish. Simple as this. When your portfolio hits six-month high, start trimming. Yeah. You know? I mean, look at individual stocks, of course. But when it's going really well, that's the stock market for you. Buy low, sell high. Sounds very easy to do. But you know what? When the market is high, everyone's bullish. So they think it's going higher. That's not the way to be. When the market's low, everyone's bearish. Yes. And, you know, but you should flip that around. So flip it, you know? Flip reverse it.
I think we've learned a lot on this bear market here, and I certainly have anyway, that I should have sold a lot more back in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. True. But I've been looking at my portfolio, and I've come up with a bit of a plan. There's about three or four stocks.
Have you been investing for how many years?
No. A current plan. All right.
It supersedes the other plan, the old plan, which was non-existent.
Yeah, that plan fell over into the swamp. This plan is far better.
Pete, take us through your plan, man.
Here's my plan, man. So there's about three or four stocks that are, you know, pretty down. And I'm skeptical about whether they will recover. So if I was to lump them all in now, sell all of them, if I look at how much I invested in all of them and look at the current value, I'm down by about half. So that money needs to go into a stock that has a realistic chance of doubling, and therefore I will recoup my losses there in another stock. There are other stocks in my portfolio that I think are very oversold. So if a rally is to happen, as you are suggesting, and I kind of think, yes, we might be, as long as things, the Trump-China thing kind of pans out well, potentially, I could put that money from those three or four dog stocks into, say, one or two better stocks that have a better chance of rallying and recover my losses there.
And do you know what that is? That is efficient, or that's allocation of capital. How efficient can I allocate this capital? Is it worth me just letting them sit idle or grinding lower or going nowhere in stocks that I think are dogs? Or can I get that capital and put it in something else will do better? And that's all that is. Allocation of capital, that's one of the reasons why you should sell.
But it's on a bigger scale than I've done before. I wouldn't have normally sold 3 or 4 stocks. It'd be like one stock here and there. But now I'm going, right, sell these 3 or 4 stocks, do it with a bit of conviction, get out of them. Psychologically, I think it'd be good to get rid of them out of the portfolio as well, because they're just sat there, you know, nasty red blobs there. So take them out, put them into a stock that I believe will recover, and then that will crash and burn, and I'll be, oh, that didn't work. Or that will recover, and I'll actually recoup the money I have.
And you'll be back to square one.
Well, exactly, but it's better. But then potentially that stock will push off. But then I'm happy to get back to square one on those stocks where I've lost the money. So, I don't know. Yeah. That's my plan. You've got to have a plan.
Your plan.
You've got to have some kind of plan. You always have a plan. I mean, if you're very organized and professional, you can have a backup plan as well. If this doesn't work,
because
you say, Steve, right, this bear market has taught us a lot, right? You said, right, I should have sold more. So you say you should have sold more in September, but it's hindsight, you see, looking through your backside is a very powerful thing, isn't it?
Yes, but I mean, the difference the difference is I was in a very good place back in September. In fact, a point where I was almost a little bit unbelievable. So if I ever hit that place again, I would
certainly... But you know, it's all relative, though. When you're in that place, you think that's the way the place is. That's the way that it is. That's the stock market. It's not... That's what I'm saying. When you hit an all-time high, or close to a high, you know, you've got to look and start trimming. That's the way it is. And then
that's what I'm saying. And I didn't do that enough.
You've got to take the tops off the mountains, take the bottoms off the troughs, you know? Mm.
Yep. It happened very quickly, though, didn't it? We didn't have a long time to rest on your laurels. It was like, yes, that's going well. Oh, no, it's not going very well. Boom. And it happened very...
I don't know if I've got any laurels to rest on. Where are my laurels?
Yes, your laurels.
Where should I be keeping my laurels?
Well, it felt like that when we were winning, didn't it? It felt we were winning, felt like we were receiving the laurels, as they say. It was going well, and then suddenly it just started going badly. There's some other stocks. Things like Asia Met are just being oversold, I think. And I hopefully strongly still believe they will recover, and I think we'll be all right. But
certain stories are longer term. You can see, copper is a bullish story. I don't know if it's as bullish as people say, because everyone's screaming copper. And I think when everyone's screaming something, it's not that obvious. Nothing's ever that obvious, you know. But I do think that copper, it will be in great demand in the future. Yeah.
Jangada Mines, I think, also has been massively oversold.
Jangada Mines has been massively oversold. They've got a new government. He's pro. The last guy was a socialist, pretty much. Yeah. This guy is more like Trump, and in fact, Trump's his hero, and he's pro business. But the Brazilian economy is, it's not good. It's looked upon. It's had one of the worst recessions they had in 100 years. And if you look at, I was reading a report, I don't know what it was, but they're going around to all the banks and the investment houses. And pretty much every one of them, out of like 20 analysts, put Brazil up there as the most at-risk economy. But, a bounce from that kind of recession is massive, you know. And if this new president can get it going and he's pro-business, then you could have a massive bounce, and so it'd be bullish for everything in Brazil. They've got a great asset, and they've got commodities there that are needed, and it seems like now, like I said, the value's gone down. Where are they, Jangada?
Market cap of 4 million now.
Exactly.
And 1.75, that's a lot cheaper.
NPV of like a 200 million, so close to, so, yeah, I mean... I think there'll be, now as we get, it's all, sort of kind of sentimentality, and sentiment. And people, as we become a bullish and start rallying, I think now towards the next few months, it'll be easier for resource stocks to allocate, to access the capital. And they won't, maybe discounts, but I think it'll be easier for resource companies. But I'm still pivoting out of resource companies. I'm with many resource companies at all. And I'm still on the hunt, sniffing around for companies that are generating cash. And And by this, I mean, they've got cash. They've got enough cash for 6 to 12 months. 12 months, most of the companies, they've got 12 months cash at least. And they're not losing that cash. They are accumulating that cash because they've started to turn a profit, and they've turned that, you know, from being a company to a startup. And that's where I'm going. I just bought another one this week. I did tell you about it. Totally bought it. It's a little bounce off the bottom, and I like it a lot. And these are also companies, I think, that are almost recession-proof. You know, they don't rely on growth because the kind of areas, sectors that won't be hit, they're much, very much needed, you know? Sort of, in fact, you did any of you buy the old Brave Bison?
No.
See? I see that. I mean, I see that. That's had confirmation. I did a video recently on AIM, ARC, A-R-C. And I talked about this, didn't I?
Yeah.
I've even forgotten what it means. Oh, the AIM of a company, reiteration of a company, and then the confirmation, A-R-C.
That's
and
it.
And out of the three companies I had, so we've got Tuple, who else was it? Yeah, Bidstack and Brave Bison. Brave Bison is the only one so far that has gone through confirmation of cash generation. So they are now profitable. They will not need to go back to the market pretty much ever unless they do a fundraise to do some acquisition or something. But for operational purposes, they will never need to do that. They've been rising very quickly. They're up about 35% since we first talked about them, I think. But they have got Invesco in there, which is a big seller, but they haven't been selling this week, and that's why the share price has been rising, I think. But Invesco are around just below 10%. They did have 20% of the stock, now down just below 10%. But they may come back in and sell the remains, which will suppress the share price. But I'm confident, because they've done that update. So they're going to be generating cash, so it's quite good. Another one, I don't want to talk about it now, but it's online, it's a new age-y kind of thing. It's the very fast growth. They're expanding overseas as well. But the share price is at an all-time low. That's because of certain things happening that I don't think will affect the operations. But they are generating cash, and they're expanding overseas. And I like them a lot. And I first had the CEO on the podcast, the chairman he is actually, about 2 years ago, and I bought some stock in them, but they'd only just listed, and I bought some stock. I liked them. I thought this is going to get bigger and bigger, and the market is growing in this area, and then they sort of grinded lower, and I didn't really, I suddenly just got into small caps, that pre-revenue, and I didn't really know anything, so I just got out, and then literally about 3 months after I got out, they went nuts, and they went from, like, let me get a chart on them, they went from, and I missed out. I thought, oh my God, I have a bit of patience here, but it wasn't based off fundamentals, just based off hype pretty much, you know, but now they're coming in, they've gone through that hype cycle, so it went from, about 17, 15 pence on that, and then went up to 40 pence. No, in fact, I bought my lock on it, 2015. Let me go back.
Is this education company that you were talking
about? Yeah. I bought them at, sort of 4 pence on that.
And they were
at 40 pence.
Yeah, very good. Wow.
Oh, my golly gosh. I sold them. I didn't hold them. I sold them early. They went up to 40 pence, so I missed out, you know. But they've come back down.
You sold them at 5p?
I sold them. I bought them at... I bought them at 5 pence and sold them at 4.5 pence. I lost money on them, you know? I lost money, yeah. Because I wasn't sure. I saw the potential, and I liked the guy, the chairman there, you're talking about, I like this, because I see potential here. Then it just kept grinding low. There's no volume there at all. And there's very little volume now, actually, at the moment. But the last 2 years, since in 2018, this share price was at 40 pence. It's got the shareholder register stacked. It's really rammed. 75% of the shares are tightly held. But now it's down at 9 pence.
That scenario you've just described there, unfortunately, that does happen. You know, it's a real bugger, isn't it? But it does happen. And one of my kind of New Year's resolutions, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions, but if I was going to have a New Year's resolution, is to be less kind of emotionally involved in a lot of that. And, stuff happens, and you've just got to go, oh, well, I missed out there. A bit like your Brave Bison, I haven't got into that. I'm aware of it. I've kind of opted not to get involved. If it goes to the moon, well done you. I haven't been in it. That's fine. I won't be bitter about not getting involved or whatever. And likewise, there'll be other ones when I do get involved and they either plummet or rise really nicely. And it's just to get less emotionally attached to a lot of these stocks and kind of believe they, be a bit more pragmatic about it, I think.
Yeah, but listen, I'm telling you now, what the companies I'm looking at, and I quite like it because I'm not just doing valuations on their assets or their potential. I'm looking at the financials. And I quite like going into the balance sheets and looking at them, make sure they are liquid, make sure they are growing. So two things I look for is they're on the verge of cash generation and they've got decent growth, you know? And this kind of look, I'm going to do a video on the weekend. They have got decent growth. In fact, the last two halves, they've profit before tax. In the final results this year, they didn't because they acquired a company, but only because of that, they didn't turn a pre-tax profit. But they've expanded something ridiculous, like 60% year on year, right? And they're going to do that again this year. And so I think what happened is they've had a seller, and they've had the chairman, I'm giving a bit too much away there, a chairman who was the founder pretty much, or the guy who set it up, has had to step aside for ill health, and he stepped down. But I believe now this company is so far, you know, along its path of development. It's no longer a startup. It's developed enough. It's got enough going on there to not need him as an instrumental figure. You know, but he's done really well getting it to where it is. But they've got enough, you know, professional people on board now, on the board, that to sort this out and take it further. And I think it's an all-time low. Very little volume. Little bits of volume last few days, you know. But I think it could be a long... You know, these companies are proper businesses that you can say are not boom or bust, like resource companies or oil and gas companies. They will gradually grow and grow and become dividend payers over the years. And that's what I want to do, you know? So almost on the verge of profitability on the cash generative companies, and so you can hold them. So they're proper companies, you know, not easy oil and gas stuff, resource stuff, up, down, boom, bust, you know, proper company, mate, got cash coming through the till, you know? Yeah. Ding, ding, ring, ting.
I'm going to play this back to you in about 18 months' time when you're going diving into resource stocks.
Do you know what? That's exactly what I was going to say. In my last video, which none of you watched, I did talk about A&E. I talked about adapt and evolve. And there's a change in market dynamic here. And that's what I've always been saying. I've been saying that for a while, haven't I? I've been saying we are slowing in growth. All the indicators are here. Even though now we've got, a temporary bit of fillip, positive indicators like US job growth. But let me say, job growth, right, is a lagging factor. When we started going into recession, we'd taken off at 40%, not 40%, but we dipped a long way in the stock market in 2007, 2008, before the jobs started going down. So jobs are a lagging indicator of a slowing economy, you know? It takes a while, because of course it does. You can't just, most people, you know, if it starts slowing down, they don't sack them straight away, do they? You know, if you're in a shop or in a barber's or something, not barber's, maybe a butcher's, or a butcher's, right?
Right.
And you have a quiet Friday, you don't just sack the bloke straight away, do you? You think, it's a Friday, probably. It's the weather, you know. Whatever you use, any excuse. But you're a couple of months of Fridays. Okay, listen, we can't keep doing this. So it takes a while for people to start laying staff off, you know. So that's why it's a lagging factor. You're never quite sure.
Yeah, but the job status is good in America.
Yes, it is. It is good. Yes, but people are saying that the lowest employment rate they've had in 50 years. It can't go physically much lower. It's impossible. So it only has to go one way. And what happens is, when you get, you know, high unemployment, you get pay increases happen because you can't find jobs. People can't find jobs, and people raise wages. There's a labour squeeze. They can't get labour. So they have to raise wages, keep labour, and people move around and stuff. So it puts some inflation. Inflation is what the Fed try and keep in control. So they raise interest rates, and that brings the economy slower. So, So that peak employment is an issue, and that's what's happening in the US. But anyway, yes, adapt, you know, and evolve. There's a change in market here, and when we're going to a slower growth, that's why I'm steering away from stocks based on growth or leverage to growth, and those are resource stocks. So that is copper and oil, massively leveraged to growth, you know. So I'm looking at companies like utility, telecoms, education.
Yeah. But then in due course, you will flip again and be back into resource stocks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think resource stocks will have a cracking quarter, two quarters here. But I'm going to stay out for them for a while. I still hold, you know, a couple of oil and gas. Like I said, Predator oil and gas, you know, oil and gas. I still hold C4XD as a pre-revenue company. And Infrastrata, which is very good. Double bagged on Infrastrata.
I saw that.
Yeah, yes. So I have sold a little bit, half of that. Do you know what? I did sell that quite to the high recently. It's down 11% on Friday. I sold it on Thursday. Because I'm, you know, I just feel I know it's I'm a decent company that they've got a decent project going on there, but it's still pre-revenue and they've got a long way to go. And I just think there'll be other opportunities to dip back in, you know, on more confirmation. But yes, anything else? Oh yeah, did you see that thing on was it a report over the BBC talking about Bidstack Group and gaming is massive and it's just saying that it's now in the UK double. What it is, let me just look it up. So it's now double what it is. What it is, it is. It double what it is in UK. So even in UK, look at this. There is worth £3.86 billion in the UK, more than double its value in 2007. That's gaming, you know. And what's good for Bidstack here in these figures are that. Physical distribution is going down, digital distribution going up. So more people are watching online. And so in the console sales, even if console sales are not going up, gaming is still growing massively. And also, what's quite interesting is that tech. Did I mention that last time? They did a deal with the Codemasters, Bidstack.
Yeah.
And I did ask the CEO. I said, I didn't realize they do CDs or DVDs. They sell the hard copies of the game, don't they? And he said, they do both. And I said, but do your tech work on both? And he said, yes, they work on both. So they can actually, put their tech up on. So listen, we just got, I don't know how this works, because, Steve, are you a gamer?
No.
Okay. Are you a homeowner? You're not a gamer, but are you a homeowner and a gamer?
I just go in.
No, it just sounds a bit funny. Right, so we just bought Forza, you know, it's a good rally game for the Xbox for our kids. And we put the DVD in, it's a new one, and it took like an hour to update. Even the DVD, and you have to be connected to the internet, sign in. And then you look on Forza, and there are some adverts on there. And even on FIFA 19, there's some adverts, even on DVD. And so I'm thinking, that's what they've got. So basically, you can put your tech in there and it'll look for an update, and you can update adverts from the internet. So it doesn't matter.
You play online, don't you?
That's I don't know. But so that's a massive market. So it seems like Bidstack can do both. I just thought it was online, but it's obviously not. It's just, they are, I suppose they're hybrid, aren't they? It's most of them DVD for most of the information, but they also get certain bits from online, so it's pretty much hybrid.
I don't know, because I don't game, but you don't necessarily need the DVD to play the game, do you?
For certain companies, do you? Yeah, for FIFA 19, do you? Can you download it?
No, for Forza, you play online, because people play, obviously, globally with each other, don't they?
Oh, hang on, I just realised, every other car on Forza, it's got names on there, the name's got odd as well. So, those are actual people online, are they?
Yeah. That's a global... Yeah, it's like my nephew plays, he's got... like tons of people that are playing all in real time with him around the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's nothing to do with the DVD. You don't even need the DVD, do you? Is that just to install?
That's a lot of data it's got to pull from the internet if it's just online, though, isn't it? Is that how it works now?
No, Forza.
We are sounding like a bunch of granddads talking about
Forza's on DVD. No, that's what I'm saying. I think it's hybrid because I think the majority of all the graphics and all that stuff is all on the DVD, you know? I'm just sort of guessing here. But the rest of it, like the stuff you can play, adverts and stuff like that, you can update. It's probably, and the names, obviously, the players.
It's all in the cloud, isn't it? Aren't you playing up in the cloud? Yeah, I think they're all playing in the cloud, aren't they? I don't know.
It's funny, you know, when I used to work with Bam on the radio, right? He took his father once to he wanted a computer, and he went to like PC World or one of these, to buy a computer. And the guy asked him, he bought the company, and then the guy tried to upsell him stuff, and tried to upsell him like the cloud, sort of storage, And the guy said, well, what happens if that crashes, though? And the guy said, no, it won't crash. I won't crash. He said, there are four satellites backed up on that. Four backup satellites. And Bam just laughed his head off, right? He said, what are you talking about? He said, those satellites? He said, yeah, they are. They're all satellites on the cloud. They're in this cloud. And the guy from PC World was telling him, because it was the cloud, the guy from PC World was obviously not trained or anything, or Kerry was one of it. But try and liken it to something in the sky. He said all the information was held on satellites. And he was a salesman. Trying to convince, and Bam says, not. They're servers. They're just servers. That's what cloud is. It's like a, you know, central server held by a company. No, cloud. He said, no, it's all satellites. All satellites.
It's all satellites.
Yeah, at that point, you walk out.
Yeah, he said, well, no, don't even bother. You won't bother cloud storage, fella. You're all right. Maybe clown storage. We'll go for that, because that's what you're selling, you clown. But, yeah, ridiculous. But, yes, anything else? Boys, how was Christmas for you? What did you get up to? Let's have a round off on the old Christmas year. What do you reckon? What do you do? What do you, Peter, what do you get up to?
All the usual stuff, isn't it? Family stuff and all that Christmas. I played golf. That was good.
Did you? With who? Yeah. Father Christmas?
Yes, and the reindeer.
All right. And who won?
The Rudolph there.
I was going to say. He's
got a whole Rudolph one. That's
he's got,
cool.
He's got a nose for it. Right, no, but it's family, friends. Do you enjoy Christmas? I find it quite hard. I quite enjoy my routine, you know.
It's fine. I kind of like it. It's a bit nice to do something different. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of nice to kind of get back to the routine in a way.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, both really. I like the time off because I've worked quite a lot before Christmas, so it's nice to eat lots and drink lots. And now I don't want to eat or drink.
It kind of flew by pretty quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it does, actually, yeah. Well, do you know what? I did a podcast on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve with, I called it Christmas Steve, because it was Steve Staley from Upland. And, and New Year's Steve Staley from Upland, because obviously stuff is happening there at Wick and the Wells Spud.
Yes,
and so there'll be news out from that very soon. Very exciting. Yeah. And that same rig, the hot rig, we'll drive down to, well, it's drive-in, it's on the water, of course, but it'll go to the Coulter in the south, feed that oil and gas, and then Andlass Energy and all that stuff. But you guys still hold Upland, do you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I saw your tweet the other day about, bad company, you go, oh, I wish I hadn't put so much in. A good company, oh, I wish I put more in. And Upland is a classic, I wish I put more in, but... You know, is it worth at some point putting more in? I don't know.
I just think wait for confirmation on everything. Yeah. Wait for confirmation, you know? It'll jump on the day. You probably miss out on, 10, 20% maybe, or 30%, whatever. But it always comes back.
Yeah.
So then, you know, if they have commercial discovery, you know, it's always going to be there then. That's it. And do you know what? Don't tell me in the next, say, 6 months, good management, they've got good backers, tight shareholder register. Don't tell me in the next 6 months that share price is not going to come back to a point where you're happy to buy on a down day or something, because they will.
Yeah.
But then you're reducing your risk. As I say, you can play for the gamble. That's what I'm doing at the moment. I'm not playing for the gamble anymore. I'm cautious on the markets. I'm waiting for confirmation. Then I'll wait, have patience. Like I said, this company I bought, this education company, right? It was at 40 pence. I thought I missed out. And I forgot about it pretty much, which I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
But now I've reassessed it. It's better now than it was 2 years ago. It's got a lot more going on. It's got a lot more revenue going on. A lot more projects going on. And yet it's cheaper. It's nuts, isn't it? Oh, it's probably about equal, actually, because they've raised some money.
Yeah.
So that can happen with any stock, you know? It's almost just patience, isn't it? And wait for it to come back. So it does sometimes. And you have these events, like maybe even a global macro event that happens that, of late, where everything sinks and there's lots of bargains around. You think, oh, hang on, look at that company there. And if you look at certain companies, are their fundamentals going to change in the next 12 months? No. So yet the market's taking them down. I'll have a bit now when they're cheap. Thanks very much. As any company, you know, it's like you say you may have missed out on Brave Bison. No, let's say Invesco just comes in there and starts really selling in the last 10% and really takes 20% of the, 20% out of the stock. You just dip in and buy some. And you go, so that can, it's opportunities. That's what the market's about, isn't it? It does this. Do you know what you're taught is that apparently in economics, you're taught that the market is efficient. It's not at all. That's absolute rubbish. I mean, that's the stock market wouldn't exist if it was an efficient model. There's always, you know, sort of discrepancies. There's always what's the word I'm looking for? Where something's out of sync, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not
anomalies.
Because you know what? They base that synopsis on everyone has every bit of information to hand and everyone's done every bit of research. They haven't. There's plenty of people who don't want to do any research. There's some people who are over researched. To the point where they're too scared to invest because they worry about everything. But, you know, to a certain extent, you have to have a certain amount of information and a certain amount of gut instinct. But that's like anything. So how do you take the risk out of all stocks? Just wait. Don't gamble on the spud. Because, let's be honest, I mean, I think Coulter, United Oil and Gas, like I said, an excellent company with a diversified portfolio. They are a producer now. And they're doing this appraisal well, which is Coulter. There's a 58% chance of success. That's quite high in oil and gas. And that's odds on. But It's only 8%. You know, it's like 58%. It's only 8% odds on. It's like a, you know, a done deal. It's like 99%. You know, no chance of hardly any chance of happening. So, but it, you know, if you want to reduce that risk completely, then you just wait. Just wait. Just get out and then buy in afterwards. You know, because you know full well, even though they've got an excellent portfolio. Let's say they weren't successful on that, the share price will take a knock. You know, so then you can reassess. But I mean, I think at the moment, I think on gas, they got 5 million in cash. They're valued at 16 million, and they got an MPV on their projects of a ridiculous amount, probably 250 million. So, yes. You know, but yeah, wait for confirmation. In cautious times, wait for confirmation. There's always times to buy, I think, all the time.
Because that's what I'm saying, my plan I revealed to you.
Oh, you just adjusted that plan a little bit now, haven't you?
No. No, what I was going to say was something like a United Oil and Gas would be something I would put that lump in all the money from the dogs into a, one like that, with the potential of it recouping the losses that I've made elsewhere.
But you could say, let's say a spare grand, right? So, okay, listen, I don't want to miss out on the rise, but I'm a bit scared if they don't strike commercial oil, it'll dip. So you could say, right, I'm going to put half in now. And I put half in afterwards. So if it dips and they miss, because they have lots of other projects anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll put half in if it dips. But if it gets success, that half will go up, and I'll wait for a little bit to come back, then I'll buy some more, you know? But yeah, lots of ways to play it, isn't there? Lots of ways to play the game. Yeah. The game that is the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fun. All right, Steve, did you find a lady over Christmas period?
I was really looking to, but it's the worst time to find a lady, isn't it?
Is it? Well, Christmas?
Yeah. Well, gotta be buying extra presents, do you?
Oh, yeah, just after Christmas. That's right.
Good point.
You
good
give
point.
It a get miss. The sales. Then give it a miss till Christmas morning and then back on Tinder. Okay. And Pete, any luck with the ladies?
Not so much, no.
Fellas?
No.
Okay.
Animals?
A little bit.
Cool.
I stroked a dog. I said, that was a nice dog. Hello. And the dog liked it, wagged its tail and walked off. So that was, in my book, that was a result.
Get your lead, you've pulled.
All right, lovely. On that cracking gag.
Thanks.
We'll shift off then.
Strong start to the year.
Yeah. Love a nice I'm quite bullish at the moment, but temporarily bullish. I think we are
okay. Awesome.
Yeah. I'm a temporary bull, you know, for like resource stocks. I'm a temporary bull, but I'm, let's say we'll finish on this. Let's say bull bear. I was changing into a bull. I was half a bear. Let's say just before Christmas. I'd say down to my, I'd say just below my nether regions, I was a bull.
And congratulations.
Nether regions and above, you know, nether regions and above, I was hairy bear. I'd say up to my belly button, I'm now bull.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And the rest is bear, you know, so that will, the hair on me will go up and down. You imagine just a hairy belly, and then below that. What do bulls have? Do they have fur or hair? What's the difference? Steve would know this.
They have hide.
Steve has fur, didn't you, Steve?
Do I?
Are you quite furry, aren't you?
As a man, you're quite furry.
The wrong terms to use there, but I'll go with that.
Well, no, you've got quite sort of snuggly hair, you know, like fur. Whereas Pete, I said, hair.
I'm hairless.
I'm not quite as hairless as Pete, but I don't have any hair like on my back or anything, strangely.
How do you know?
Because I look in the mirror.
Well, you look in the mirror at your back. How do you do that, Steve?
Two mirrors.
Clever.
Well, just to look at your back, to see if you've got hair in your back. Yeah. Right, to buy that, check if I've got hair in my back. And then what do you do if you have? Oh my God, I got a hair on my back. Anyway, I've talked to the kids about that early on. They tell me why I'm so old because I've got a hair on my head. I think it's an odd concept, isn't it? You get hair everywhere else now. I got hair everywhere, apart from my head. Which is, you know, and no one sees the rest of the hair. What's the point of that? I can't really show it off, can I? Anyway.
We're glad.
Yeah. Apart from you, lucky boys, you get to see my special hair.
Okay. Right. And on that
bombshell. Right. Have a nice weekend, boys.
Yeah. See you later.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.